Well, thank you, Deb and Juanita, for that beautiful offertory. Over the last 3 weeks, our lives have been changed by this COVID crisis, and as I've been praying about what to preach on over these last 3 weeks, I've just been asking God, what do you want to say to your people, Lord? And this certainly is a time of instability in our lives and our society. And so I thought, what brings stability into our lives? Well, obviously, the Word of God. And so over these last 2 weeks and then this message today, I wanted to just drive down three pilings into God's Word. The first piling was that God is our ever-present help in difficult times. And though the world shake around us, God is unshakable. And that we can build our lives on the rock of Christ Jesus, on his eternal word. And then last week, I wanted to sink a piling down to remind us that even though we're going through difficult times, it's not a time just to focus on ourselves, but just like Jesus, who became a servant and served others, we need to not just attend to our own needs, but to the needs of others, that we need to love our neighbor, that we need to love one another. And even though we need to find new ways to do that because of social distancing, we can still love one another. And that's important. That is one of the hallmarks of being a Christian. And today, I want to sink this third piling in to God's word about learning the secret of contentment from the Apostle Paul. And so I want to prepare our hearts by reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be accredited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied now, that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are our provider and that you are the one who brings peace into our hearts. So, Lord, as we look at your word today, I pray, God, that just a blanket of peace would wrap around us, God. And even in our innermost, Lord, that you would speak to us from your word today. Oh, Lord, we are your people. You are our shepherd, God. So I pray that you would lead us and guide us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Ron McClellan, former senior pastor here, and Becky Hanna's dad, served as a senior pastor here for a number of years. And on his sermon schedule that he would send out to the staff and worship team each month, he would write on the top of the sermon schedule, just, you know, he'd send it out so we prepared, but on the top, in bold and underlined letters, he would write, "Subject to change with little or no notice." Subject to change with little or no notice. He did that because he was an experienced pastor, and he knew that despite our best laid plans, life changes. Life changes. Certainly, we are seeing this firsthand, how rapidly our lives can change as the world's been broadsided by COVID-19 outbreak. And sadly, tragically, people are dying. And a growing number of people are losing their jobs, they're shutting down their businesses, and they're wondering, how will they provide for themselves? How will I provide for my family? And others are concerned about their retirement savings. Will I have enough in my later years? The words of the Apostle James are a sobering, sobering reminder to us, reading from James 4, verses 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to do this or that, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Folks, life is subject to change with little or no notice. But what is unchanging is our God. He is the unchanging constant. The theologians say God is immutable. Immutable. This means that God is unchanging in his personhood, his purposes, and his promises. And yet God does act. He does intervene. He does have emotions. He feels emotions. He acts and he feels differently in response to different situations. So God is sovereign and he is almighty. He is enthroned on high. He's unchanging in his nature and he is perfectly content within himself, the triune Godhead. Yet he is not stoic or unapproachable. He is our heavenly Father. And he understands the trials that you're going through right here, right now. And he really does care about you and the difficult life circumstances that you're dealing with. God has not abandoned us as orphans. We are his children. You see, because God is unchanging, he is always faithful. And because he is faithful, he is good. And so we can put our trust in him and we can continue to live with a quiet confidence and courage and resilience despite not knowing where the road ahead will take us. I hope that you're able to meet with your life groups. And if you're not in a life group, I encourage you to join an online life group. You can call the office and we'll help you find a group that fits with your schedule. But as I was meeting with our life group this past week, several of us were able to get on Zoom. I had my speaker phone in my office. I had one person on that, and then I had another person on my cell phone. And we worshiped the Lord together. And one of our participants wanted to share Isaiah 41:10. And I thought, well, how appropriate for our message today. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, says the Lord. Isaiah's words remind us that we need not give way to fear in the midst of the uncertainty that we're currently facing in our lives, because God strengthens us. God is our helper. He's the one who upholds us. He is our loving Father who holds our lives in his providential hands. He is the one who grants us peace. The Apostle Paul certainly experienced God's faithfulness and provision during his earthly ministry. That is why Paul was able to say to the church at Philippi that he had learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, said Paul. I have learned the secret of contentment. That is the theme, that is the title of my message today, The Secret of Contentment. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:11 through 13. And so what is this secret by which Paul found contentment despite changing circumstances of his life? What is the secret? How do we find this secret? How do we live in the promise of this secret? Well, to find the answer, we need to look over to Philippians 4:19, when Paul blesses the church at Philippi for their ongoing support of his ministry, and he says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So the first part of discovering Paul's secret to contentment is understanding what it means to profess, "My God, my God." Jesus is both our personal Lord and Savior and Almighty God. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Perhaps you're just listening in online. Maybe this is the first time you've listened to a message here from Still Heights. Perhaps you're searching for God. Well, I encourage you to seek the Lord, to know God as your God. Have you surrendered your life fully to Him? Have you moved beyond just simple belief where I believe in God to the point where you've placed your life fully, you've committed yourself fully into God's care? Jesus comes to all of us and he asks the same question. He says, "Who do you say I am?" He asks that in the good times and he asks that in the terrible times. You see, when we go through the fire of trials, it reveals the true nature of our faith. When we go through the fire of trials, it reveals the true nature of our faith. It exposes us for who we really are and what we're really hanging on to. What is our anchor? What are we really trusting in this life? And if we're just living on borrowed convictions that we picked up secondhand from our parents or from a professor or from the pastor or someone else, it won't stand the test. In our hearts, we need to be able to say, "Oh my God, you're the one who supplies all my needs." And when we can say that with assurance, "This one thing I know, the triune God, the Father, Son, and Spirit is my God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that is my God. He is my God." Then like Job, when God leads us into that way of testing, we can say, "But God knows the way that I take. And after he has tested me, I will come forth." Job 23:10. The first part of discovering the secret of contentment is to know God as my God. So Paul builds on his faith conviction, "My God," with a promise. And the promise is that "My God, your God, will supply all your needs in Christ Jesus according to his glorious riches." God is our gracious Father in heaven, and Jesus said if we ask for a fish, he's not going to give us a snake. If we ask for an egg, he's not going to give us a scorpion, as fascinating as that may be. You see, God knows our needs before we even ask for his provision, but he still wants us to come to him in prayer. He still wants us to commune with him. He still wants us to worship him. He still wants us to thank him. But another big purpose of prayer is to come to God in supplication, to come with requests. "Oh, Lord, remember your servant. Lord, remember my needs. Oh, God, would you provide for this person?" We come with our supplications before God. He invites us to come and to ask often and to ask him in perseverance and earnestness. Then God knows he has our full attention. And while we wait patiently for God's provision in the waiting room of life. Better the waiting room than the penalty box, I always say. While we're waiting, it doesn't mean we're just completely passive. And it doesn't mean that we're just striving anxiously, wringing our hands, waiting for God. When is he going to deliver? But no, there's a peace and an assurance and a confidence that our God will provide our needs. He will supply all my needs. And so we are still active. We are still asking so that it will be given to us. We're still seeking so that we may find. We're still knocking so that the door may be opened. James 4, 2b says, you have not because you ask not. And James also reminds us to ask with the right motives. To ask with the right motives. God doesn't supply for us so we can just spend it on our own whims and pleasures. That's not stewardship. God knows the desires of our hearts, and he is a generous God. But the reason why God supplies all our needs is because he loves us. And because he loves us, like any good parent, he doesn't want to just spoil us rotten. Almighty God is not our errand boy. He's not our genie in the bottle. He's not our fairy godmother. No, he's our loving Heavenly Father who calls us to worship him and to enjoy him forever as we rely on his provisions for our lives. And as we practice good stewardship of all that he entrusts us. While I was preparing for this message, I watched this video clip from the Dr. Phil show. The Dr. Phil show. And it was about this very spoiled 15-year-old girl living in Beverly Hills, California. And she contacted Dr. Phil because she was upset with her mother. Apparently, her mother was going to embarrass this poor child in front of all her friends by only buying her a C-Class Mercedes-Benz for her 16th birthday. Oh, the inhumanity of that. I know that sounds ridiculous, and the young lady obviously lacks maturity to see outside of her Beverly Hills bubble. Yet as Canadians, we can grow a little spoiled and entitled as well. And perhaps one of the good things out of COVID-19 is that it teaches us how to get by with less and still find contentment in Christ as we learn to live simpler lives. I've appreciated this time being just with my family more, even though I miss my son Daniel, who's out in Sweden in school, and he's still there. But to have Jessica and Jaden and Andrew at home with Juanita, and as we miss Josh as well as he's serving overseas in Kuwait, we miss Josh and Daniel, but it's sure nice having the family and having extra time to spend together. I hope that's true for your families, and I hope for those of you who are single and that you're able to reach out to your friends through emails and online and through on the phone. But regardless of how life changes, our God has promised to meet all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Not much of your needs, or not most of your needs, but Paul says all of your needs. All of your needs. Not your whims, but your needs. God can meet all the needs of his children because he is infinite. And his riches are inexhaustible. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Psalm 24:1. And God doesn't just meet our physical needs, but he meets our emotional needs. He meets our spiritual needs as well. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. So we've seen that the first step in experiencing true contentment in your life is making sure God is in fact your God. This one thing I know, stake in the ground. God is my Lord and my Savior. The second thing we need to consider if we want to experience the true contentment of God is trusting God's promise that he will in fact supply all your needs out of his glorious riches in Christ. So we have faith conviction, we have a biblical promise, but there is a qualifier. The whole context of the opening passage I read out of Philippians 4:10-20 refers to the church at Philippi who gave gifts to meet Paul's physical needs while he was experiencing hardship ministering in Macedonia and Achaia, which is modern-day Greece, and also while he was in jail in Rome. When God is our God, and we trust that he will supply all our needs, then we find, folks, we find joy and honor and contentment in seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness through generosity, through sacrifice, through obedience. That third part of the secret of contentment comes when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then we see him meet all our needs. You see, it's in the midst of the sacrifice of obedience. It's in the midst of the sacrifice of obedience that we see the provision of God most clearly, don't we? It's during those times when it's most evident. This was certainly the case in a chapter of Abraham's life, as recorded for us in Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Isaac, the long-awaited child of God's provision, was finally given to Abraham and Sarah. And yet sometime during his adolescence, or maybe even to his young adult years, God tested Abraham. God said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, who you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." And over the course of the next 3 days, Abraham journeyed, and he did exactly what God had asked. And arriving at the mountain of God's choosing, he took Isaac, he took wood, he took fire, and he took a knife, and it wasn't a rubber knife, as commonly joked about, and he proceeded up that mountain to offer Isaac to God as a sacrifice of obedience. And with Isaac now bound and placed on that altar of wood, it's hard to fathom. Of course, it's a foreshadowing of God offering his one and only son to us. But Abraham didn't know that. And Abraham reached out his hand and he took that knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him now. Now I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Well, I can only imagine the deep sigh of relief that Abraham took as he heard the angel's voice, and as he looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns, and he was able to sacrifice a ram instead of his own son, whom the Lord gave back to him consecrated. There's a special lesson there. When we lay our lives back on the altar as living sacrifices to the Lord, that he takes our lives and he consecrates them and he makes them right and holy before him to be used for his kingdom. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." The Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Folks, may this COVID-19 mountain that we're on, may in chapter of this time in your life and in the life of SHBC, may it be a time when we can say, "On this mountain, the Lord provided." this is an opportunity for us in the midst of the hardship. Like Abraham, we can say, on this mountain, my God provided. I believe Abraham was able to climb Mount Moriah because his eyes were set higher. His eyes were set on the rock that is higher than I. And he saw the invisible. With eyes of faith, he saw the invisible Jehovah Jireh, my God, my provider. May God keep your eyes fixed on him as you journey through the trials of COVID-19. The Lord said to Abraham, I swear by myself that because you have done this and have not withheld your son and your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Genesis 22:16-18. Just as Abraham's sacrificial obedience resulted in blessing, and just as Christ's sacrifice resulted in the rich gift of eternal life and our rich inheritance, so our generosity and our obedience results in God's grace being shared with others. However, please remember this. Remember this. As much as God loves us, and he cherishes us, he is not served by human hands. He is not formed by human hands. And in a sense, he's not served by human hands. Paul said that to the philosophers in Athens. But in God's Father heart, he invites us to serve and to participate in his kingdom. And somehow, in his kingdom ways, it is still meaningful. Our service is still meaningful. For after all, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life as a ransom of many. And so we live in that tension, that paradox. And I think the reason that I'm stressing this point is that you will be hard-pressed to experience the contentment and the joy in your service and your sacrifice of obedience to God if you think he's indebted to you. He's not. We are the ones who are indebted to him because Jesus paid the debt on the cross that we could never pay so that we may be adopted into the family of God. Folks, it's true. Life's plans are subject to change with little or no notice. But we serve and we worship a God who is forever faithful and unchanging in his desire and his ability to provide for his people when we are willing to generously and obediently seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. This is Paul's secret of contentment. God is our provider, and my God and your God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, especially as you seek first his kingdom and righteousness. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us so dearly. Oh, Heavenly Father, we worship you. Lord, you are our sustainer. You are our provider. I pray you would bless your people. Lord, bless your people, God, this week. May they see your graciousness, God, and your amazing provision in their lives, Lord, as they seek to be a blessing to others as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor Darren. How can we be content when we're so broken? How can we be content when all of creation is groaning to be set free from all that it's going through right now? Well, we can be content when we know God. And I pray that you have found him worthy of that contentment. Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? All creation groaning is a new creation coming, and it's the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. Is it good that we remind ourselves of? Seal and open the scroll. The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Thank you.
What an inspiring song to end our time of worship together. Well, I want to encourage you to take time, even this morning or later on this week, to watch our Power Up online video that's also on our website, and just worship along and learn along, young and old. I encourage you to check out Power Up online this week. Well, I'll leave these words. St. Jude for you. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, Still Heights. We're praying for you. We love you. Long to see you face to face. Amen.